Instead of having a sermon per se today, we're going to have many voices sharing stories of God's peace in their lives, peace with enemies or with others, and how that makes a difference. So as we prepare to hear some of these stories, I invite us to pray together. Spirit of peace, quiet our hearts and our minds. Heal our anxious thoughts. Free us from our fretful ways. Breathe on us your holy calm, so that in the stillness of your presence, we may open ourselves to trust more deeply and to be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. So as pastor, I get to hear stories of your lives, and sometimes I think these stories should be shared, but instead of sharing them in a sermon, I'd prefer to have people share in their own voices. So I've invited some folks to share some of their stories today, and then if you have a story that the Holy Spirit has given you that you would like to share, I invite you to share that after they do. So the first person I will invite to come forward and share is Nydia. And I will just say, as Nydia's coming forward, having known her since 2010, and seeing, and Nydia's very, for those, we have some guests here today, Nydia's very open about the fact that she has a mental illness. And she talks a lot about, or she shares a lot about the struggle that happens within her and the importance of her faith in transforming her. And she had a bad summer where we felt lost from her, right? But God came again and she experienced his peace. So I've just asked her to share. What does it mean for you, Nydia, you can put this up here, to have peace with God?
To me, becoming right to God means to have a relationship with Jesus. In August 28, 2005, I was baptized by Tom Albright here at Whitehall. When I first became baptized, I was really hungry for his word. Patty Connolly took me to BSF, which is Bible Study Fellowship. I attended his fellowship for 7 years. Through studying his word, my soul became close to Jesus. I went through many bouts of spiritual warfare, though, because the mean one, the Satan, wanted to keep my soul for himself. And every time I was doing well, I was reading the book of Romans and all these other books where you're close to God, I always ended up in the hospital, in the psych ward. But then the Holy Spirit would come to me and would say, here I am. You are my child. You're not his child. And I even made, I forgot my keychain. Well,
is it out there?
Yeah, it's in the... I made a cross with him. It's in the pocket. I should have put it in my regular. Sorry. It's just that always reminds me when I drive that he's with me. I made it with him. He showed me, you are my child, and you're not gonna be. You're not Lucifer's child. You're my child, and so many times he flee from me because the Lord was there with me. And by having peace in God, he showed me how to have shalom. Shalom in Hebrew doesn't just mean peace; it also means to progress, to be with him, to walk with him. The Holy Spirit showed me how to pray with a mission and from my heart. In this way, he told me, this is one way that I know that you always will be with me no matter what. As a matter of fact, yesterday I went to Viesinka, where I go to the synagogue, the Jews and Christian synagogue, and something happened to me. I was very angry not at him. I was angry at the rabbi and at the God, because I'm supposed to put away the stuff from the table, the holy stuff, and put it in the ark. And I couldn't put it because the woman that was enabling us with becoming prophetess, I don't know, that's something that the Jews are doing. And she told me, leave it there. And I felt angry, and at the same time that I could cry, I could sit down and just cry and cry about it. But then the Lord showed me later on. We went to the bus stop where they sell antiques. I don't know. I just felt like, and then I found a thing that said, trust in the Lord. I ended up buying it, and I was mad at him. I was mad at God. I was mad at the rabbi. I was mad at Biesinka. I always say, I'm not going back to that place, but he always make me go back. Just like, I don't know, I used to say that about here, but the Lord always says, Nidia, you're mine, and he always talks to me in his little voice, and he says, and he always does things that surprise me and keep me like, you're mine, and that's it. I'm always stubborn. I think I'm a very stubborn child, and he always teaches me, Nidia, you're mine, so don't forget, and he shows me, and that's my story.
So just to clarify, you can go ahead and clap. Just before you go, to clarify, so Nidia, for those that are guests, Nidia goes to Beit Simcha, which is a Messianic Jewish congregation, on Saturdays. And so Rabbi is a Christian, but he is a Jewish Christian. And so she goes there on Saturdays and here, and there's oftentimes things rise up within you that you get angry when things don't go quite how you wanted them to go, which happens to all of us, right, when things don't go as we want them to go. But God gives you the peace and the ability to keep going back and stay in those relationships. And Nidhi and I often walk, or we often pray together during the week. If we don't walk, we still usually pray together. And my prayer for her always is that the peace of Christ, the peace that we have in Christ that passes all understanding, would guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Because it often, your mind sometimes fails you, right? And your heart sometimes fails you because of your illness. But Jesus continues to keep you, right? And that's what we want to celebrate this morning. So thank you, Nidia. I invite Apong to come and share. This is a story that Apong shared with us at our leaders retreat. And I don't know. Apong will do what Apong will do. So he'll share however he wants in Korean and English.
I'm trying to, but I don't see. We all believe God, right? He are powerful. He are faithful. He are peaceful. Yeah, my story, if I say it, going to be all day long, but I will say a little bit. Long time ago, you know, I want to say something that a little bit. When I was maybe 13, 14, that time, you know, me and my friend, I don't know, we do something not right and we do something wrong. Korean army catch us. They will kill us. That time, that year, they don't care about good people, or Korean army don't care about anything. They kill everything if you do something wrong. I say it's true. I'm a true person. I don't care. Because that because we are too little. I don't know how to pray that time. I don't know nothing. I remember my mom take me to the church sometime. That time when she tied our hand in the back, we friend, she tied out to the like a center. They have center to kill people there. They tie us there. We'll be too little. We don't know anything. Something pop up in my head. You had to pray. Woo! Oh yeah, I never prayed. I tried. I told my friend, we will pray. But I don't know how to pray. Yeah, you know, but God save me, you know. Yeah, forgive me. I do something wrong. But save me. Please save me. Meanly, right away, my mom saw up. I don't know where he's coming from. He saw up. She saw up. And she crying, and I'm like, what's happening here? You know, he's so amazing. He is powerful. He wants you to ask. He will give it to you. He will answer you. My mom showed up, and my mom go to the office, Karen, army office, and signed it. This is my child, you know. This year, blah, 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 and we're free. And the guy there, the lady, the child, the army child, yeah, the leader of whatever, don't do it again, okay? You are so lucky. Yeah, your mom show up. Yeah, I'm lucky too. My God save me too, you know. Okay. That one, I'm believe. I'm trust God more. Starting there, I'm believe God will. God is powerful. And close by here, and the job. I want to say, because me, you know, English not too good, and I from the another country, immigrant, you know. I started working one place. The owner of the house, he hired me. Hey, you know, we have patio square, like 2,000 square feet, blah, 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 blah. You want to come here to check it out, you know, give me all the pride or adjustment? Yeah. I go up that time. Okay, no problem. I will be there, you know. When I go there, because the owner of the house, he built new stuff. A lot, you know, new building, new pool, new, you know. He hired too many contractors there. I'm going inside too, you know, too many contractors, all American people or some, you know. Mine different. I go, and everybody look at me. This guy, look at this guy, you know. I don't care, you know, but I going. Unbelief. The business I'm starting right now, I ask God first. Everything I pray. Unbelief. God be me. So I go talk to them. Okay, you're starting, you know, the owner say, okay, you can go check it out. And we go check it out. And the guy there, the contractor, he are the chart there. He coming out. Oh, yeah, not right. This guy do nothing right. Right. Yeah. I started, you know, but I don't say nothing. And I thinking, you not hire me by contractor. The owner of the house hire me. I don't care whatever you say, you know. And I started level the ground and raise the ground level and starting level the sand up and lay the paver down and he coming. "Looks good, Pong." He said, "Yeah, you know." And I started little by little, and he tried to come close to me and started to talk to me very nice. Yeah. I like it. And he started to try my food. Because I bring the food. Yeah. "I like your food, buddy. He started to talk to me very nicely. And that time, he leave me alone. He not blah, blah, blah. Because he know it. Oh, this guy get it. This guy can do it. I started, you know, maybe 10 by 10 feet, you know. I started limp there, and he looked at it. Oh, and he walked away. I want to say, Jesus say, your enemy become friend. Kesaklu tatevera, nadu dadale ne kedu hupu gedado nalo, kehupu gedo nalo. Unbelief guarding me all the time. I want to share. Believe God deeper. Whatever you do, whatever go to work, sleep, let God go with you. Everywhere, everything you do, He will be with you all the time. Thank you.
And it was a surprise because I never heard the first story before, only the second. So thank you, Apong, for sharing that story from your early years of how big God is. Marty, if you would come and share a story that happened to you this past summer.
Okay.
I think that's what you're going to share.
Yeah, that's it. There's so many different things. We can be on a different tangent, too, but that's okay. This past June, I was actually selling a car I had. And an ideal place to sell a car in my neighborhood is on my front lawn, because if you've ever been to my house, the car traffic is phenomenal. I've sold like vehicles in like 2 days because people pass. So I had one car on the lawn, and it was okay and everything. And that night I got a call, and it was an unknown caller. I never answer unknown calls, but I figured, okay, I'm trying to sell the car. It's an unknown call. I'll answer it. Well, it was that afternoon. The call started with "you expletive N-word." Okay. Some people have heard it because I was actually leaving to come here to a meeting, and I was just like, I don't know what that was all about. I was like green because I'm just not – I don't use those words. I don't talk to people like that. And it was just unbelievable. People like you shouldn't be allowed to walk the earth, the whole nine yards, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. So it happened like there was about 6 messages in my phone from that particular person. And it's the same person. And then he started to say, well, if I ever see you if you're ever seen at the Wise Market, somebody's going to do something to you, blah, 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 blah. So he obviously knew that I drove the car in that area where I live, because I live. You could spit and hit the Wise Market, basically, practically. So, okay, so I was a little shaky, so I went to the police, and the officer said to me, there is nothing we can do because it's an unknown call, and we can't trace it. But you can buy this app for $80 and put it on your phone, but there's no guarantee you're going to block that call. So I'm getting annoyed. Why should I go buy this app and block these people from calling me when you're not going to do anything about it? So my response to the officer, and I said it very diligently and nicely, but if I called you up from an unknown number and told you I was going to blow up the police station, you'd be knocking on my door in 5 minutes, okay? So I prayed about it. I came here, actually, and I played the recording for the people that were here because I was like, I don't know what to do. I've been racially attacked before, but to my face, not cowardly on the phone. And it's uneasy because you don't know who you're attacker is. So it's hard because you don't know how to approach it because you don't really know who you're dealing with. You don't know if this person is watching you. You don't know if this person is real. You don't know if this person, if it's a kid playing a game, although they did have an adult voice. There's a lot of unknowns because you can't physically see the person. And then I'm getting no assistance from the police. So we prayed about it here. I went home. I got like maybe 3 calls that night. The calls went on for maybe, let's say, about 2 weeks, okay? And I kept praying about it. Now, and those of you that know me know that when God tells me to do something, I'm usually not that diligent because I don't want to do it. I'm much more, the last 2 years, I'll say I've been more obedient as far as doing it because the bottom line is I end up doing it anyway. I'm just belligerent about it for the first 2 times he tells me to do it, and then I end up doing it anyway, so beat the rush and just do it, okay? But so God came to me, and when he comes to me and tells me something, I'm usually like, you know, what do you mean? Or, I know what you mean, but why are you telling me to do that, in other words? So God told me, you have to forgive this person. Now, I've said this before. We all know when it's the Holy Spirit telling us to do something versus our own flesh or someone else. God's relationship with us as individuals, or with me, I can speak for myself, and I know certain people that I've spoken to, we know when it's him coming to us and telling us to do something because he relates to us the way he knows we need to be related to, all right? God is very literal with me because I'm a very literal personality. Do this, and I'm telling you to do it, and this is why I'm telling you to do it. You know, there's no pussyfooting around here. It's just the way it is. Okay, so God came to me, and he usually comes to me right before bed, or right when I'm resting, or when I'm ready to rest, or right when I go to sleep, because I guess I'm helpless, I don't know. But he comes to me like, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. Okay, so he comes to me one day, like 3 weeks later, after I'm full of these calls, the police can't help me, he says to me, I want you to forgive this person. And I'm like, what are you on? You know, it was my first thought was like, huh? And I know that I should do that, and on some level I had within my heart, but he wanted me to forgive this person to them, in front of them, when they called me, all right? Because I had already kind of forgiven them to try to move on so I could let it pass, but that was weird for me. So I said, but I knew it was God, so he called me again. The person called me again, and the conversation started again with you expletive N-word, okay? And then it goes on from there and on from there and on from there, okay? The N-word, by the way, incites me. I don't like it. If there's one thing I hate, it's that, because it's used way out of context and shouldn't be used at all. So anyway, when he called me the last time, I said to him, you know what? I wouldn't let him talk. I says, you know what? Are you still there? I'm here. I said, I want you to know that I forgive you. I forgive you for what you're doing to me. I forgive you in the name of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son. I said, I forgive you, and I hope you have a blessed day. I'm going to pray for you when I get off this phone. I said, because there's something not right. And whoever hurt you to make you want to hurt me, I want you to be able to forgive them because I'm forgiving you right now. He hung up and I never heard from him again after that. So that itself was nothing but God, because that does not happen in normal everyday life. Anybody else, if that wasn't God, that would have incensed him to keep calling me. You know, because his number wasn't blocked because I couldn't block it because it was an unknown number, and I was not paying $80 to roll the dice to block his number. So, and I have not heard from him since June 28th of this year, and it started the beginning of June. So.
I invite you to come, Carlos, and share with us your story of peace.
Thank you very much. It's a blessing to be here. I want to try to share with you in English. The problem of talking in a different language for every person is you have the thoughts, but sometimes you don't have the words, then that's why I'm going to try to talk slowly in order to have the thoughts in relation with my words. If not, I'm going to ask the help of Pastor Danilo, just in case I don't have the exactly words, the best words. Well, I like history and I like stories. That's why one of my favorite books of the Bible is the Book of Acts. The Book of Acts, as you know, has 28 chapters. And on those chapters, tell us the story that the witnesses of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome. And we are still writing that history and stories. We are the writers of Acts 29. Yeah? The history of the church is still writing. I'm not going to share with you a personal testimony, but a testimony of courage, a peaceful messenger of the gospel that I knew when I traveled to southern Mexico for several times. I'm a sociologist and a journalist. Then I traveled to southern Mexico, to Chiapas, because I was interested in the documentation of the persecution of the Christians in Chiapas. Chiapas is a very indigenous population, has a strong indigenous population from different groups: Tzotzil, Tzeltal, Chol, Toholabal, Mam, and many more. Then these indigenous people talk their languages. Some of the leaders speak also Spanish. Then I heard a story of a Christian leader that was killed. His name was Miguel Gomez Hernandez. He was Tzotzil of the highlands of Chiapas, a very nice area of Chiapas with high mountains. And I heard the story that his story started when he became a Christian. Well, his life obviously started before, but as a Christian, he became Christian in 1965-1966. And he learned Spanish because the Bible wasn't in Tzotzil. He was interested in learning about God, the message of the Bible. Then he was reading the Bible. Finally, after that, he became Christian. And he started to share the message in the town. The problem with the town, Chamul is the name of this Tzotzil town, they are very traditionalist. And they forbidden to Miguel Gomez Hernandez to express a different message than the traditional beliefs. But secretly, he spread the gospel with friends and family. The story is a long story. Finally, I wrote a book about this in Spanish. But the leaders of this traditional community, the Chamula town, they spell Miguel Gomez Hernandez, and they forbid to become to visit people in Chamula. Well, in an underground way, sometimes at night, he decided to visit the town in order to talk with new believers. Or new believers visited them where the place he was living in San Cristobal de las Casas is a colony, still a colonial town, very nice town, very nice small city in Chiapas. With the years, more and more people became Christians. Then the leadership in Chamula was very angry with Miguel Cachlan, and they amenazaron, how do you say amenazaron? To Miguel, the leaders amenazaron a Miguel Cachlan de muerte. The leaders of Chamula. Yeah. Because they are the defenders of the tradition, they send this message to Miguel, if you continue to spread this gospel, we are going to kill you. They have different attempts to do that. Finally, in 1981, they kidnapped Miguel Gomez Hernandez. They took him to the traditional town, to San Juan Chamula. And they tortured him in very barbarian way, and finally they killed him. And his body was hanged on a tree. Yeah. Colgado de un árbol, yeah. But during these times, from the 1966, when Miguel Gomez Hernandez became Christian, and when he was killed, 1981, during 25 years, he was not just sharing the gospel, but also being the pastor of the new believers, and they encouraged them to follow the example of Christ. Not to be violent, but to be messengers of justice and peace, because this traditional Chamula town is very violent, and a lot of alcoholism, not just for men, for women, but also they started in alcoholism, also the children. It's very shocking if you visit that town to see in some religious ceremony to the children, you can see the children drinking alcohol. But Miguel Cachlan's example was very powerful. The Christians were expelled from Chamula, and they started a new settlement, and the name of this settlement, they decided to call it New Hope, La Nueva Esperanza, the New Hope. And for me, it was very moving. After years, I don't remember if it was 2001, the year, when finally the Bible was finished in Sotzil, Chamula Sotzil, and was a big ceremony with thousands of people in the New Hope colony, the New Hope settlement, and they remember the testimony of the founder of the Christian church there, and also of the founder of this settlement, Miguel Gomez Hernandez. Then I believe we can learn and be encouraged by the 28 chapters of Acts. But also we can learn and be encouraged and blessed by Acts 29. That people like Miguel Cachlan, disciples of the gospel of peace, show us an example. And in some ways, it's like they push us to follow the same path. The path of justice and peace. Finally, I did it. Thank you very much for hearing. And remember these brothers and sisters in Chiapas, the Sotzil, the Tzeltal, and the others, that they are still struggling with violence and doing testimony in the same way of Christ. Thank you very much.